Chapter 1. The Hunt. Ellingham Hall, Norfolk, England, November 2010. You can't imagine how ridiculous it was. James Ball, WikiLeaks. Glimpsed in the half-light of a London evening, the figure might just have passed for female. She emerged cautiously from a doorway and folded herself into a battered red car. There were a few companions, among them a grim-visaged man with Nordic features and a couple of nerdy youngsters. One appeared to have given the old woman her coat. The car weaved through the light Paddington traffic, heading north in the direction of Cambridge. As they proceeded up the M11 motorway, the occupants peered back. There was no obvious sign of pursuit. Nonetheless, they periodically pulled off the road into a lay-by and waited, lights killed, in the gloom. Apparently undetected, the group headed eastward along the slow A143 road. By 10 p.m., they had reached the flatlands of East Anglia, a sepia landscape where the occasional disused sugar factory hulked out of the blackness. 15 miles inland, at the unremarkable village of Ellingham, they finally turned left. The car skidded on a driveway and drove past an ancient dovecote before stopping in front of a grand Georgian manor house. The woman stepped from the car. There was something odd about her. She had a kind of hump. If a CIA agent or some other observer were hidden in the woodland along with the pheasants, they could have been forgiven for a moment of puzzlement. Close up, however, it was obvious that this strange figure was Julian Assange, his platinum hair concealed by a wig. At more than 6 feet tall, he was never going to be a very convincing female. "You can't imagine how ridiculous it was," WikiLeaks' James Ball later said. "He'd stayed dressed up as an old woman for more than 2 hours." Assange was swapping genders in a pantomime attempt to evade possible pursuers. With him were also his young aide, Sarah Harrison, and his deputy, the Icelandic journalist Kristin Hrafnason. On that evening, this small team was the nucleus of WikiLeaks, the whistleblower website Assange had launched 4 years earlier. In a breathtakingly short time, WikiLeaks had soared out of its previous niche as an obscure radical website to become a widely known online news platform. Assange had published leaked footage showing airborne U.S. helicopter pilots executing 2 Reuters employees in Baghdad, seemingly as if they were playing a video game. He had followed up this coup with another, even bigger sensation. An unprecedented newspaper deal, brokered with the Guardian newspaper in London, to reveal hundreds of thousands of classified U.S. military field reports from the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, many of them damning. Assange, a 39-year-old Australian, was a computer hacker of genius. He could be charming, capable of deadpan humor and wit. But he could also be waspish, flaring into anger and recrimination. Assange's mercurial temperament spawned groupies and enemies, supporters and ill-wishers, sometimes even in the same person. Information messiah or cyber terrorist? Freedom fighter or sociopath? Moral crusader or deluded narcissist? The debate over Assange would reverberate in the coming weeks in headlines the world over. Assange and his team had fled here from the Frontline Club, a hangout for foreign correspondents and other media types in West London. Since July and the launch of the Afghan war logs, Assange had slept on and off in the club's accommodation at Southwick Mews. The club's founder, Vaughan Smith, had become a sympathizer and ally and invited Assange and his coterie to his ancestral home, Ellingham Hall, tucked away in a remote corner of East Anglia. And here,